Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
She was ready to take on the world.
Feet on the springboard. Elise leaped into the air, and then...
I basically landed on my back.
Robin remembers one of her little cousins saying, "Auntie, someone colored on the plaque." In fact, someone had carved into it. Six words that sent a chill up Robin's spine. KKK will get you, black people.
I mean, just, you know, imagine walking up and you're like, what is that?
We were still segregated in many ways. I did go to school at St. Joe's with white children. There were white kids there and there were black kids there. But we didn't live in the same neighborhood. We lived very segregated.
On the way today, samples from these three podcasts, Blind Landing, South Lake, and Meet Father Rivers. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Tripp Eldridge. Each week we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us in Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. An incredibly unlikely event took place during the 2000 Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia. One Olympic gymnast falling when competing on the vault is normal, but during the women's all-arounds, 8 fell in just the first half of the competition. It turns out the vault wasn't set to the correct height, which explains the horrible results, but also put the competitors at substantial risk as well as dashing their medal hopes. When officials found out about the error, they offered redos, but the damage for many was already done. The podcast Blind Landing is a documentary podcast about elite sports and specifically women's gymnastics. On its first season, host Ari Saperstein is one of the first people to talk to the competitors and their coaches about what should have happened after this error and how a few centimeters can change everything. Here's a sample for you from the beginning of the Blind Landing series, The Vault Part 1. In this clip, Ari sets the stage for the performance space for America's top gymnast, Elise Ray, and her crushing vault.
First of all, vault is both a noun and a verb. The vault is a 4-foot-high padded piece of metal that the gymnast pushes off of and flips over. Sometimes it's also called the table or the horse. And the verb, to vault, it starts with an 80-foot runway that the gymnast sprints down. And at the end of that runway, they jump onto a springboard and push off of the vault. According to Elise, this event, it's all about timing, speed, and precision.
As a gymnast, you start on the opposite end of the vault.
When the gymnast gets the green light from the judges, they start sprinting down the runway.
So you have a certain amount of steps, and a lot of gymnasts count their steps.
It's like a rocket launch, counting down the seconds before liftoff. But instead, the gymnast is counting down how many steps are left, 50 feet away from the table. 40 feet, 30 feet.
It's very methodical.
At the end of the runway, the gymnast jumps onto the springboard and rebounds upwards.
Then you start sort of your entry into the table.
The gymnast pushes off the vault with their hands, using all that repulsion to lift high into the air. And in that second of weightlessness, they fit in as many flips and twists as possible.
And land on the mats on the opposite side.
Feet on the springboard, hands on the vault, stick the landing.
One small step, one inch is a really big difference. It completely plays a factor in your run and your hurdle and your entry.
Elise had every single one of these steps running through her mind as she got in line for the warm-up round on vault.
When you're nervous, it's physiologically different. Your run may be quicker, your steps may be smaller, than everything then is a ripple effect from there on out. So for me, I really had to work on kind of using my breath to regulate my nerves so my run and everything would be very much the same as in practice.
Elise exhaled and started her run.
So I had gotten myself up, finally up to this point of, okay, I am ready. I'm ready to tackle this competition. I feel really good.
Her footsteps got faster.
She was ready to go. She was ready to take on the world.
Feet on the springboard. Elise leaped into the air, and then...
I basically landed on my back.
Elise fell. And this was not a typical fall. She crashed, which is the gymnastics word for when anything that can go wrong does.
A look at the intensity and fairness, or lack thereof, of elite sports. That's Blind Landing, available now in the Start Here collections at WVXU.org. Just click on the podcast menu. Southlake, Texas seems to have it all. Stately homes, intense civic pride, and above all, terrific schools. So when a video surfaced in 2018 showing Southlake High School students chanting the N-word, and when black residents came forward to share their stories of racist harassment and bullying, the school board vowed to make changes. But the unveiling of the Cultural Competence Action Plan set off a backlash that's consumed Southlake today. NBC News reporter Mike Hixenbaugh and Antonia Hilton tracked the fallout as the community became the epicenter of the critical race theory debate. Southlake, the podcast, exposes how racial divides crack open into fissures that seem impossible to mend. Here's a taste of Southlake from the episode Home of the Dragons. The clip talks of Frank and Robin Cornish, a black couple who moved there in the 90s, and they began to see a different side of their town after Frank's tragic death.
Just a month shy of his 41st birthday, Frank's heart had failed in his sleep. At the hospital that morning, Robin climbed onto his chest and sang to him a psalm that had been special to both of them.
I long to worship thee. You alone.
He just, I think he was just tired and... God said, just trust me, I'll take care of them. But it's time for you to rest. And that was that. And he was gone. People see him as a professional athlete, but he was just my Frank. He was my corn dog.
Robin now found herself not only devastated, but facing a huge question about whether to stay in Southlake and what the town even meant without Frank in it. This place had been his dream, not hers. She thought seriously about moving back to Chicago.
I remember we sat in a circle and said our prayers after the funeral. And my mom was in, we were in Frankie's room. And I said, this is where our life begins, without Dad, and we have to figure it out.
In the end, Robin chose Frank's vision for their kids, in Southlake and the first-rate education offered at Carroll. She couldn't afford to keep their house, but she was able to find a rental home just outside the city limits in the town of Keller. A school district official contacted her to let her know she was free to keep her kids in Carroll under an open enrollment policy for students forced to move after the death of a parent. That fall, overwhelmed by grief, Robin struggled to function. One thing that kept her going was the outpouring of support from neighbors and old friends and even a few strangers. The city Frank had given so much to was giving back, and then some. The Southlake City Council even named that park after him and put up a plaque in his honor. That gesture was supposed to represent the town's gratitude for Frank's legacy and its embrace of the family he left behind. But what no one knew then was that it would end up becoming a glaring symbol of something very, very different.
Is this where you found the graffiti?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I found it.
She found it on May 21st, 2017, 9 years after Frank's death. Robin's extended family members were in town visiting from Chicago, and she decided to take them to see his park at Town Square. The plaza was busy with shoppers coming in and out of Sephora and J. Crew. Robin remembers one of her little cousins saying, Auntie, someone colored on the plaque. In fact, someone had carved into it. Six words that sent a chill up Robin's spine. KKK will get you, black people.
I mean, just to, you know, imagine walking up and you're like, what is that?
The epicenter of the critical race theory debate, that's South Lake. Available now on the WVXU Start Here podcast collection. Just go to the podcast menu at WVXU.org. Cincinnati is filled with stories of everyday heroes who are deeply impactful and essential to our community, but few of us know who they are. Well, local podcast creator, author, and musician Emily Strand shares those stories with Meet Father Rivers, one of the local heroes, Father Clarence Joseph Rivers. Father Rivers was one of the first black priests in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, and for many years, he ministered to the St. Joseph's Parish community in the West End. As a Vatican II disciple, he encouraged a vibrant liturgy of word and music to his mostly black congregation, and the songs he composed were foundational in new liturgical music that combined black Catholic worship in the black gospel. Let's take a listen to a sample of the powerful local podcast Meet Father Rivers. From episode 3, Emily tells the story of Father Rivers' early career and speaks to Dr. Jesse Thomas, who was a child at St. Joseph's in the Cincinnati area when Father Rivers was a young priest in the late 50s. Emily recounts an early incident of liturgical disobedience by Father Rivers, effectively protesting the exclusion of black forms of music in Catholic worship.
What were your first impressions of Father Rivers, and what was it like to meet a black priest?
Well, it was strange, to use that word. It was... You have to realize that it was during the time of segregation. We were still segregated in many ways. I did go to school at St. Joe's with white children. There were white kids there and there were black kids there. But we didn't live in the same neighborhood. We lived very segregated. And all of a sudden, we had a black priest. We had never seen a black priest before, but we did have one black nun. Her name was Sister Francesca. And now all of a sudden we have a black priest. Well, we are just like beside ourselves. We have a black priest and a black nun. Oh my goodness.
The set is complete.
Right. The set is complete. We could not believe it. We didn't know what to say to him. We didn't know how to treat him. But I must tell you that he was so very good to all of us, to all the kids. But we just found him so very special because he looked like us.
Yeah.
You know, nobody who taught us except for Sister Francesca looked like us. Everybody was white, you know. And the only reason, or I won't say the only reason, but again, schools were segregated back then. Black children were not allowed to go to public schools. And so my parent, my grandmother, who I stayed with at the time, because we had just come from the South, and Father Rivers had a very good statement about that. He said his parents came from the South too, and they came because they were trying to be upwardly mobile and middle class. That was his statement. Upwardly mobile and middle class. So I suppose we were trying to be upwardly mobile and middle class as well. But we could not go, they could not enroll me into a public school.
From our local creator, Emily Strand, that's the podcast Meet Father Rivers, available now from the Start Here collections from the podcast menu at WVXU.org. As we wrap up today, let's take a quick look at the Apple Podcast Charts as presented by iTunesCharts.net. As the country and the world wrestle with how to handle Russia, the podcast chart world seems to be on a predictable pattern of engagement and distraction. Two podcasts have been sharing the number one position for the past week. For those engaging times, it's the New York Times, The Daily at number one. And at the distraction times, it's Twin Flames, about the love obsession stories of Shalia and Jeff. That's The Daily and Twin Flames, both number one on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about those podcasts and the others we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose Start Here, the newsletter, from the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at WVXU.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.